Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Preseason's a wrap. The Saints fall to Denver 28-19 in the finale. We're here with the Cajun Cannon getting his thoughts on this game and everything he's seen so far in the preseason as well. But just, looking at this quarterback battle, Cajun Cannon talked to Deuce after the game and says, you know, we don't know if we really got any more answers from what we saw in today's action.
No, Steve, I would say that it's about the same like it's been through the OTAs, minicamp, training camp, and now, they've had their highs and lows. The one positive, when I look at Chuck, because I was saying, can we have a sustained drive? Well, this was good to make it. It was 22-9 at the time, to make it 22-16, and he bounced back. You know, he had fumbled in the pocket. See, that's what you can't do is when him and Quincy Riley intercepts the ball on a screen in the red zone in that area. Then we get the ball back. And then Mendoza, it'll be interesting to see what we do at right tackle as far as health-wise, was beaten. And then Chuck fumbles, so we gave it right back. He cannot afford to do that. But looking, later on what occurred. Now, when that fumble happened, it was, 16-9. And in Denver, when they had the opportunity, they ended up scoring a two-point play field. They were 22-9. But looking at that drive, ended up happening in the fourth quarter. Chuck goes 12 plays, 77 yards, 4 minutes and 41 seconds. So that was a nice bounce back because we haven't seen any sustained drives. Like, always say like 9 plays or more. It's good to have a 3 or 4 play drive when you hit a chunk play. But no, we have not. I think that might be the only one in the preseason when I think about a good sustained drive where you're actually moving the ball and scoring touchdowns, not settling for field goals. I would say if we would have the football banquet now, how can Blake Groupie not be the MVP? I said this before, I don't know if I've ever seen a kicker. And I've been around Pro Football Hall of Fame kickers.
Right.
Just playing with or watching, even the great Martin Anderson. I don't know if he ever just missed one kick in camp. And tough kicks. It makes 56, 49, 48 yarder. You almost take it for granted that he's going to make it. So Blake Groupie, definitely the overall MVP on the offense. And that's good and bad. You're getting points, but, you got to turn some of those field goals into touchdowns. If all of a sudden, you have 5 opportunities to score, and then you got like 15 points or something. You cannot afford –
to have that. You got to get touchdowns. Somehow, I think our defense is going to play tough, and our scoring defense. Somehow, how can we get in the 20s? I'd be real encouraged.
We're averaging a touchdown a game right now.
Yeah, well, we need, but let's say two touchdowns and two field goals, so 20 points or 23. I think if we get around there, we'll have a chance, but, you don't see that consistency from the offense to be able to maintain that. Now, looking at, before I go on, we haven't played Denver that much, and you see Sean Payton on the other side. And then all of a sudden, it seems like they have at least a dozen people or players, coaches, person, whatever, 12 to 15 guys.
Lucas Kroll.
Yeah, Lucas Kroll. Oh, he was with the Saints. And then Troutman. Oh, he was with the Saints.
Shy Tuttle.
Yeah, it goes on and on. Malcolm Roach. Oh, that's that kid from Baton Rouge who went to Texas. He was with the Saints for years.
Then, like you mentioned, with coaches even. You got Zach Streif over there.
Yeah, and then you got Rizzi. You got Sean. No, it goes on and on. You know, you look at the whole organization. So there's not much history except for that. Between the Saints and the Denver Broncos, but when you look at it, like what has really occurred when we've played them, and always look at this in the preseason, and now we did lead the exhibition series 3-2, but now it's 3-3. We've played them 6 preseason games, and now it's tied to 3-3. We were looking to maybe make that break that 2-game slide in preseason losing streak. Now we've lost 3 in a row in preseason to the Broncos. Now, enough of that. I always like to say where we're at in the preseason or in the regular season. But the Broncos, that's a good measuring stick, I truly believe. The one thing that stood out to me, how it just seems like the Broncos are just playing around with us. How they set the tone. And look, how you possess in the football and – they basically had the ball almost 14 minutes. That's like a full quarter more than the Saints. I might say, now, you know what I was pleased with? Our first unit defense. I thought we were tackling well, but I agree with Deuce 1,000%. Our starters can hang with their starters, but when you look at the depth, I think their second and third strings are a lot better than ours. So you look at the overall depth, and you need those guys to step up because who's going to be healthy, who's not. That's a big concern right now with right tackle, with Fuaga. And what is Landon Young? They took him out on the court.
Ankle.
Ankle. So now we have a bye week, so we could be interesting to see who's ready to play against the Cardinals. And like Deuce said, when you look at the final roster spots, I think it could be very fluid and it could be dictated by who's healthy and the depth that is going to provide to play against the Cardinals. But this has not been good throughout the preseason. And this affects the time of possession. It affects how many time rushing attempts you have. We cannot convert on third down. It seems like we're in the 20-some percent or high 20s or low 30s. Well, today we're 5 or 13, 38%. That's not good enough on third down. And it was like that throughout the preseason. Now, it was encouraging. Now, we got to get there down more often. We were 100% in the red zone, but we're only 1-for-1. Coming into the game, I think we're 1-of-5.
Correct.
Getting in the red zone. So that has to get better. And therefore, I always say, you have usually this every team. And this is like even college. I don't know about high school, but college or the NFL. Like you really, it's the over and under. How you'd bet on the wins, total over and under. Look at number of plays. I'll tell you, 65 is the number. Mm-hmm. You never want to be below 65. If you click in an offense, you're going to have at least 65 plays or more. Well, we had 58. And that goes by because we're not converting on third down, so then you don't have the time possession, and you're not dictating the ebb and flow of the game. Now,
it all trickles down.
Yes, it all connects.
Right.
And then looking at the carries. Okay, we had 17 rushing attempts. I guarantee you, we won't win a game. If we have 17 under 20 rushing attempts in a game, I don't think we win a game. We got to be somewhere between 28 to 32. Now, I think Alvin Kamara can help that, and whether it be Kendra Miller, the 1-2 punch, whatever, but they got a block for him. So Kellen Moore wants to call runs. I mean, you could beat your head against the wall, so we're running it. Okay, it's now 3rd and 8 because we got 0 yards, then we got 2 yards. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be, and that was encouraging because we did. Average per carry, I would take this. If we had this, I would take over four. But today we did flip the script on that, even though it's only 17 carries. We had a 4.5 yard average, and I would take anything under four right now with our defense, considering last year we gave up almost 5 yards a run. Today we gave up 3.8. Now, I think we need to be on the plus side. We got to be lucky or make our own luck and be opportunistic. For the game, the turnover margin was zero. For the preseason, in three games, it's still zero. It's not negative, not minus, but it's not plus. I think, I'm not saying we got to be double-digit plus, but again, to have a chance in that regard, we got to be on the plus side in the turnover margin. And Quincy Riley, I was encouraging interception, but then, Chuck, you have to have better pocket awareness. You know, when you got to know where that rush is. And because I'm telling you, these linemen, you put that ball up and you're ready to throw, they can knock it out like nothing. So he ended up fumbling, he bounced back, but that's going to be something that he has to get better at, that pocket awareness. That even happened when Spencer Rattler fumbled against the Chargers. The same thing. It's all about that clock in your head and pocket awareness. Now, it would help if your offensive line gives you a little more time to throw, but that's what we have to avoid. Now, looking at like Devin Neal, that was encouraging. You know, out of sight, out of mind, dealing with a hamstring. He had 5 attempts. He had a long gain of 6 yards, but he averaged 4 yards a carry.
Nice debut.
Not 20 yards, yes. And he looked, he showed good vision. I know I was sitting by him, but that was a nice cut. You know, getting those positive yards. Kendrick Miller had a long gain of 8 yards. Now, he only had 3 attempts, but he averaged 5 yards a carry. So
one got called back on that holding penalty.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah. That killed the drive.
Right.
That was on, Steve, I remember, Jawan Johnson, didn't tight end?
Early on.
Yeah, that was, you know, looking at that drive, where was that? Yeah, it was Jawan Johnson getting called for holding. That ended up killing that drive. And then when that happened, you ended up settling for field goals. Now, looking at, excuse me, I get a drink.
Cajun Cannon takes a sip.
Yeah, take a sip of my mineral water. And then looking at, now, you know, okay, if you just look at the quarterbacks, you didn't know nobody. I was surprised, and because we were getting after him, I thought Bo Nix played with some poise. You know, you could just look at how Sean Payton's counting on him.
That connection to Courtland Sutton looks pretty good.
Yeah, he had 4 catches, 83 yards. He averaged right at 21 yards a catch. He had that one long gain of 43, and he had a touchdown. And Blackman didn't have that bad a coverage, but that's making a contested catch. Strong hands.
We're talking about,
strong,
right?
Strong hands. Now, I'm telling you, Kool-Aid's going to get picked on. Until proven differently, you might say, well, they might go after Isaac Yadam. They might go after everybody. But you look at Sean Payton, whether they were throwing a back shoulder throw or a fade route, they were going after Kool-Aid McKinstry. And now we're counting on him. Now, what's going to be the health status of Alante Taylor? I mean, we don't know. It's a lot of questions. But it's not like we have a defensive back. Like if you play in the Broncos, and he was a most valuable defensive player last year, you think you're going after Patrick Surtain?
No,
hell no. But I think they're going to go after different players. Like I look at times, even Kool-Aid struggled when you look like trying to guard Davante Adams who were going against the Rams, and he's playing hard. You know, it's just sometimes they think they have the advantage. You know, the mismatch there. But Bo Nix was 10 of 14, right at 8 yards an attempt. He had a quarterback rating of 118. That's what we were used to with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, you know, having those kind of QB ratings, you know, coming about. And Tyler Shuck, you know, as I said, it was kind of the same, him and Rattler. Shuck was 73.3, Rattler was 76.6, 182 yards total, throw him none to write home about. And no big games like we had from Tipton, you know, receivers. Like catching a handful of balls, hovering around 100 yards. No, Kevin Austin was the top receiver at 34 yards. And he had a long gain of 14. Now, Olave was targeted 3 times, caught 3 balls, but his long gain was 12. Welch, the tight end, seems like back-to-back games now. He's made big plays as far as big yards. I think today, though, he was like wide open. on this one pick on that 21-yard gain. Only caught one ball, but it's almost he's so open. He has to catch it, or he should catch it in that regard. Now, the one play at the beginning of the game, and it was a drive killer with Rattler, when he threw it by behind a little bit behind Rashid Shaheed. I think if he hits Rashid Shaheed in stride, he might take it to the house. That would be a touchdown. So then we could have been up, instead of kicking a field goal 6-3, then we could have been up 10-3. But those are the little things that we cannot afford to do. Like, we start the game, we force a 3-and-out. Our defense, again, I think, I don't know about our depth. I think we can hang one-on-ones at times, especially our defense. I think they're going to, because we were putting pressure on Knicks at the beginning. On that first drive when they went 3-and-out, Brazil had nice pressure on that 3rd-and-12 with Bo Nix. Now, he got a delay of game at the beginning. That's kind of puzzling. Then when we got the ball back, though, we were moving the chains. Miller had that 7-yard gain. Juwan Johnson holding penalty. See, those are the kind of things we cannot have. They're at 3rd-and-9.
Didn't they have another chance at a 3-and-out, and then DeMario had an unsportsmanlike?
No, they went for it on 4th down.
Okay,
and
that was it. Okay.
Well, back-to-back, it was we could have been 3-and-out, but Sean said 4th-and it was 3rd-and-5. We played the run. We stuffed him 0 yards by Batty. And then it was 4th-and-5, and Knicks to Sutton, plus 14, beat Kool-Aid back shoulder throw. Then the next time, Kool-Aid played better when they tried to go over the top on the fade route. But those are the kind of plays that we have to kick, we got to hit on. Now, the Saints continue, I thought, throughout the beginning, getting good pressure on Bo Nix, even though he was pretty poised, 10 or 14. But I thought we were, getting after him. Now, on that play, though, to Rashid, that was a 2nd-and-14 play. He threw it a little behind him, but come on, Rashid, help the young quarterbacks out. Would Rattler make a great catch, and like I said, or if he hits him in stride, and now you put it on the quarterback, then we could have had the lead 10-3 instead of Groupie kicking that 49-yard field goal to make it 6-3. Now, I don't know, next time we had the ball, or they had the ball, we had them backed up, and they had 1st-and-20. They called Troutman, a familiar name again, obviously now with the Broncos, that 1st-and-20. Well, you got to be able to stop teams on 1st-and-20. They had a 2nd-and-20, and it was incomplete. And we got unnecessary roughness on DeMario Davis.
There it was.
Okay. I mean, was that a bogus call? I mean, it seemed like that. I mean, I don't know. Was it roughness? I kind of missed it, but then I think someone told me on the replay it didn't look like. But you can't touch the quarterbacks. They don't want you sniffing it on them. So you can't do any of that around. And when you look, when something like that occurs, when you keep them on the field, all of a sudden, then he hit Sutton because the drive continues, 43 yards and beat Kool-Aid. And then Knicks hit Sutton right in front of Blackman for a 19-yard touchdown. They go 6 plays, but 77 yards in that second quarter, to make it now 10-6. And then you've seen the plays like back-to-back reviews up the middle. No push. We had the ball. You think, come on. We don't have the tush push, but quarterback sneak type play. You think you would get that. But we've struggled, I'd say, overall.
Short yardage offense, not good.
Yeah, and then went back on defense. And Sean, now Bo Nix is out the game. They go at Ellinger, and then 4th-and-1. Sean's going for them for that. And then Foskey, do your responsibility. Do an RPO. He gets sucked in, and he didn't get containment. So Ellinger ends up getting like a 19-yard gain on that play. And we just was never the ebb and flow, like setting the tone. We were always responding to me what the Broncos were doing. I think overall, we for sure had 3 drops, if not 4 drops. The receiver, well, it's a tough catch or not. That was nice with Quincy Riley intercepting that screen. But, it wasn't no dramatics. Like the most dramatic sequence in the preseason had to be against the Jaguars, how that game closed out, even though it was a tie. Now, as we go on a break, looking at like a return game and had a great chance to make the team on the kickoff return, Velus Jones, that was a nice 39-yard kick return. I think maybe against the Chargers he might have had a 36-yarder or something like that. But that's good field position. So that's a weapon in a kick return game. He has shown the coaches he can be put back there. Now, with the defense closing out, Rajane Wright led the team with 9 total tackles, 7 unassisted. Sanker had 6 unassisted, 9 total. Now, these are three guys competing. Jasheen Davis, kind of out of sight, out of mind. That one practice, he had 3 sacks. Well, today he had a sack, a quarterback hurry, a tackle for loss. Christian Boyd, remember the one almost got the safety didn't call against the Chargers? He ended up with a sack, quarterback hurry, and a tackle for loss. Jonah Williams, identical to Christian Boyd, that a sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for loss. So kind of ho-hum game. We're like, hey, bring on the regular season so Amen. We can get a little more excited. So I think it's going to be critical for us to go off to a 1-0 start against the Cardinals. Because if not, it could snowball in a negative way in the other direction. I'm not trying to look at the glass half empty instead of half full, but I think just from a confidence standpoint in that locker room, if you can win that first game, it's amazing how you feel about yourself, 1-0, versus if like you 0-1 going into the 49ers coming to town after that.
Before we go to break, I'm going to pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. How you feeling, Who Dat? Sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the point after, 504-260-1870. Taking a break, we'll be back with even more of the point after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back into The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Denver takes care of the Saints 28-19 to close out preseason play. Black and Gold will be back in action after a little bye week, and then September 7th back in the Caesars Superdome taking on Arizona Cardinals, a high noon kickoff. Going to be a tough matchup there, Cajun Cannon. We talked about this a little bit with, you know, a mobile quarterback, some weapons on a running back, tight end, and receiver.
Yeah, and they're going to get after us. Their D-line, they'll get after our O-line. That's why we got to block out. I don't care who's the quarterback, or helping out Alvin Kamara, make holes for him or give him opportunities. I think our defense is going to hang. I don't know about our offense. You know, if we somehow hold the Cardinals, which we can, I think, under 20 points, well, shame on us if we don't win. But that we might have to have those kind of games. Well, it's an ugly game. But we end up winning, it's like 17-13 or something like that. You know, the bottom line is, if you win or lose it. You got NFC West. You're going to have the Cardinals and the 49ers. So we're staying home. We're not going anywhere. Right here, back-to-back games kick off the season in the Caesars Superdome.
Checking out our WWL Talking text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. We got Hollywood and Thibodeau on the line. What's going on, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. What you got, man?
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Nicholls State. They won today 20-6. Tommy Redbeck did a good job, and a bunch of turnovers in that game. Nicholls has a real good defense.
So there was a pick six, so that was awesome.
Yeah, they, I think that kind of set the tone. In that first half when they got that pick six, yep.
Yeah, when that receiver for, how you say that team name, Ancorn Ward or something?
Yeah, Incarnate Word. And then that's a good Catholic school.
Defensive back made a good catch, and he turned it to the house. That was a turning point right there.
Yeah, Hollywood. So what did you think of the Saints today? Kind of what you expected or what?
Was that Bobby?
Well, what do you think of the game against the Broncos and Sean Payton? About what you expected or what?
Well, you know, Sean Payton coming to the Dome against his former team, he was trying everywhere and anywhere to get that W. I mean, he never goes for it on fourth down and what? Six on that goal line. He never goes for it on fourth down and the other way. He reverses a call. He never gets a call when he was in the All-In. Now he gets a little fourth and inch, you know?
Well, he challenged it twice. I don't know if I've ever saw him trying to do a quarterback sneak twice. Oh, no, that's a bad spot. Oh, no, that's a bad spot again. And then we think we have the first not so fast and got overruled. So
Bobby, looks like we have to go on the waivers and look for a couple of offensive linemen, huh?
Yeah, because of the injuries, like Deuce was saying, especially, I don't know, with right tackle and our swing tackle, Landon Young, they took him off on the cart. And Fuaga, is he going to be available? You look at Trevor Penning. I think right now, okay, we good. Center, right guard, and left tackle, obviously, with our draft pick Banks, you know. But Shane Lemieux, we just got Shane Lemieux. I mean, during training camp, and then he played, I think he started for us like five games last year, and he's also injured. So, the final roster cut might be based on what I mean short-term, like who you play in the first game and where do you need the depth at. And so it's going to be very fluid, the roster. Guys coming in off, are you a practice squad player? Are you the active roster? Or are you just out and out bring someone who's not has not been here and not familiar? So there'll be a lot of movement, I think, over the next – you know, week and a half by the time we play the Cardinals to kick off the season on September 7th.
Hollywood, thanks for the call, man. We're taking a break here on the Point After Show. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Be right back with more, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Point After. The Saints lose their preseason finale 28-19 to the Denver Broncos. The good news is, though, no more preseason football. The next time the Saints take the field will be September 7th, back in the Dome, hosting the Arizona Cardinals Week 1. And who will be that quarterback under center for the Saints? That's still a mystery. Coach Kellen Moore still hasn't revealed anything yet. Looking at the final preseason numbers for the Saints QBs, though, Spencer Rattler, 30 of 43 passing, 295 yards, a touchdown and interception. Also had that two-point conversion. Tyler Shuck, 36 of 53 passing, 333 yards, a touchdown and interception, and also a rushing TD.
Yeah, and the rushing TD, I mean, it was like, that was our highlight. Well, hell yeah, he should score. They went, boy, talk about trick the Broncos. There wasn't even nobody out there. But it showed you he's not slow. You know, he hit the corner. Both Shuck and Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler, they can run. And they're not a stiff back there. They're not a statue. They're not like whoever you like, you know, Jared Goff. Now he's very efficient in the pocket. Or you look at like Joe Flacco. You look at different individuals. No, they have more mobility, running ability. But sometimes their pocket awareness, how you protecting the football and all that, that needs to speed up or just be more aware at times of protecting that football. So, I mean, you look at those numbers. It depends which route you want to go, because that's, to me, that's like basically the same. You know, and it's been kind of like that. I would say overall that if you look at, like, when they first came on board, because they both had to learn a new offense. You know, like say, oh, well, Spencer Rattler is a veteran. But he still had to learn Kellen Moore's offense. You know, he's not running Kubiak's offense. So he had to run a new. So I look at that even playing field, even though, you know, Spencer Rattler did start six NFL games with no supporting cast. Therefore, he was, you know, 0-6. But looking at, I'm telling you, it's not like they really separated. If you look at the OTAs, mini camp now, a lot of training camp, the preseason games, they both had their highs and lows and were both about the same. Now, when you look at where Talishuk was drafted, 40th overall, and the teams don't admit this, no, the best man's going to play, you know, approach. And if Spencer Rattler does start against the Cardinals, if he plays well, he'll stay the quarterback and he won't have to look at his shoulder if he it won't be like Haener. You know, Haener had that bad half and they replaced him. It won't be like that scenario. I think even if, let's say, Rattler would start off, he wouldn't play well against the Cardinals, he still would be the quarterback, I think, against the 49ers. They give him more an opportunity so he's not looking over shoulder. That's how significant it is to name a starter and have confidence in them, see what they're going to do. And if he keeps playing well, he'll stay in there. But I told you this scenario, like when Jacoby Brissett, I used that example. And you look with the Patriots last year with Derek May. Well, Jacoby Brissett, who's not even with the Patriots no more, now he's with the Cardinals, that he was a quarterback for, I want to say, 5 or 6 games. And then Drake May came in for that Texans game. They didn't win it, but he started. And they were more optimistic going into the season. And since they drafted Tyler Shuck, you know, 40th overall, then Kellen Moore went and worked him out. You know, that was a player that he targeted. They're going to give Tyler Shuck, I'd say, more leeway than even Spencer Rattler because he's their guy. Not that they don't like Spencer Rattler or he's not their guy, but it's going to be who's going to produce. I think they'd much rather, like, okay, let's say this is the worst-case scenario. It don't matter who's the quarterback, we ain't winning Jack. And it's very discouraging. So you have to always look at it from a mindset, adversity, and how do you handle a quarterback, their first NFL experience as far as confidence. You know, Spencer Rattler is trying to win his first game. He's probably going to put that in his man cave, you know, that first win he gets in the NFL, that game ball and all that stuff. But I think, let's say they don't have success. The Saints would rather that you start with Spencer Rattler and then we're going to replace him with Shuck. Yeah. And we're going to see what can happen. So let's say they both can't play. You might say, well, look, Tyler Shuck was the 48th overall pick second round. Well, they're going to go with him. I mean, I can't think of his name now. The guy with the Chargers with the 49ers, look where he was drafted, and Brock Purdy beat him out. Mr. Irrelevant. Trent. The guy with the Chargers, Steve, come on, Charlie, help me out here.
You talking about a quarterback?
Yes. Yeah, the quarterback from North Dakota State. Come on, y'all got to help me out. Trey Lance, not said Trent. Trey Lance.
Oh, man, I'm thinking Justin Herbert. I'm like, why are you talking about Herbert?
No, because Trey Lance is with the Chargers.
I got you, right.
And they're looking, and all of a sudden he goes from the 49ers to Dallas to the Chargers. Look where he was drafted. So that's why just because you got drafted 47, that doesn't mean you know long-term answer.
Yeah.
So let's say they would go that route, Spencer Rattler, and then even Tyler Shuck, it doesn't work out. They might draft another quarterback. In 2026, depending where they're picking, depending who's available and where. So that's not etched in stone. But I think they would rather, if you're not going to get off to a fast start, they'd rather go from, I think, Spencer Rattler to Tyler Shuck versus Tyler Shuck starts. And he's kind of started like Spencer Rattler. He's 0-6. Boy, and his confidence, you know. his first experience. And then all of a sudden, then you go into Rattler. And then I think that would mess more with Tyler Shuck's head if he was starting the season and then he had to be replaced and he'd be benched.
Do you look at anything of how the players respond to the QBs? I know it's tough just looking at the numbers.
Yeah, the defense, they just were like, come on, one of y'all got to help us out. And they would challenge the offensive line because they know Alvin Kamara could still run. I think our skill positions, Juwan Johnson got to stay healthy at tight end and where we at. And I think to help the young quarterbacks out, we got to block up front. But the defense, they too worried about doing their job. What we're going to do, we could do. And that would be a big positive even if we weren't winning. If we're holding opponents in our teens, that'd be something optimistically to look forward in the 2026 season by just playing outstanding defense under Coach Daly.
We got Darryl, Les, Rocco, and more on the line. You can sound off on the WWL Talk and Text line 504-260-1870. Taking a break here on The Point After. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, the Saints going down to the Denver Broncos 28-19 in the preseason finale. We've been talking about the quarterbacks battle between Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck. And KJ Kaden, when we were in the commercial break, you came up with another scenario that could possibly end up unraveling.
Yeah, there's so many different angles you could do. And the coaches, they see every practice. They film everything in the meeting room and everything. And they might view that not whether good luck, bad luck. Spencer Rattler's a journeyman. We know we're having Spencer. And Spencer Rattler definitely is an NFL quarterback. But again, more like a Jacoby Brissett kind of thing. If he's lucky to last that long, because, man, you make a great living, you become a millionaire, you play 10 years. Chase Daniel, whatever. And that you go, we got to see what we got in Tyler Shuck. Sink or swim.
Right, this is our second-round pick. We're rolling.
Yeah, we're rolling. We're going to see if we want to build with him in the future and just let him play. And then it's, oh, this ain't working out. Then you draft someone else next year in 2026. And then let's say, oh, we want to target Arch Manning. You have the first overall pick, or you definitely have to be in that regard, like in the top three. You look at where the Titans had the pick to get Cam Ward. First overall. So you have to look at how that could all unfold. And you might say, okay, now, Saints fans, I don't think we have this much patience, the Who Dat Nation. It'd be like, okay, like, you, let's say you went with the 40th pick, you draft Shuck. And then next year, we'd be, they work out so well, so we pick in the quarterback of the future again. And let's say he don't work out. So then 2027, you draft another one. You got to keep, because it's not...
Until you hit.
Yeah, it's like a third of those guys work out. We talk about truly like the Joe Burrows. When you look at truly the franchise of franchise guys and like the potential Pro Football Hall of Famer, they don't have that. They have 32 teams. There's never enough quarterbacks, but you might keep rolling the dice until you find that guy, at least you would perceive and can perform and be at least amongst the top 10. I'd say the top 12. I would say Derek Carr. We love to hate him. At times, I don't know why.
Love to hate him.
That Derek Carr, when he retired, and I don't know his shoulder status, but Derek Carr, out of 32 quarterbacks, still was in that range between 12 to 16. I mean, just look at what he did, just being around him with his teammates. Now, we say we didn't win anything. Yeah, you have to win. That's the bottom line. So I think that's another approach you can take. Okay, Shuck, you play it. Either you take advantage of the opportunity
or
not.
Get out
there. Yeah. And if it don't work out, nothing personal, then Rattler could be somewhere else and Shuck could be the backup and we draft another quarterback and continue until we get it right. Because we hit the lottery with Drew Brees, and that was through free agency. It wasn't even the draft.
Yeah, we need to get another winning Powerball ticket.
Yeah, because we know what an outstanding first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback is. It's a shame we still only won one Super Bowl, which 2011, I always say this, was arguably the best Saints team. They were the new greatest show on turf, surpassed Kurt Warner and the Rams. And then the Broncos and Peyton Manning ended up passing up that Saints offense. But we were that good that year. And then a no-call. Come on. That wasn't just any old game. That was to go to the Super Bowl. So right now, Super Bowl, we're just trying to be relevant and get back to the postseason and have a double-digit winning season.
Right, be relevant in the division. We're going to check in with our WWL talking text line. We got Les in Mandeville wanting to sound off on the QB situation. Les, what you got for us right now?
What up, buddy?
What's going on, Les?
Hey, Les, what you got?
Man, I got a question about the quarterbacks, buddy.
Okay.
You know, I got through sitting and listening to y'all, you know, happy belated birthday, Bobby. And
okay, thank you.
But, I don't understand this, man. You know, we don't have a quarterback on this team.
Well, they're trying. They draft 140. Yeah, go ahead.
And now I'm listening to you. Just now, you're saying that.
Well, I'm just going by what I witnessed. It's still a small sample.
Bobby.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
We had the small sample size, but
what we need to do is evaluate a veteran. We need a veteran on this team to teach these guys.
So what do you want? Kirk Cousins here from Atlanta or something like that? Or what?
Anybody, whoever's available to help this team to get over the hump, because these guys ain't going to get it there.
Right now, available is a Carson Wentz on the market.
Yeah, okay, Carson Wentz. I mean, what's Carson Wentz going to do? Okay, that's why I think we're truly rebuilding right now, whether the Saints want to admit that or not.
You want to know what you have in these young guys.
Yes.
What's the vet going to do for you?
Yes. And you look like, okay, let's say now people don't have patience. That's why I say the Houdat Nation, we got to be patient. Let's say we suck this year. And I'm being kind. Like, because we were 3-13. You remember that Katrina year, but that was a lot of adversity. And you have to look at, okay, what it would take to not pick like 9 or 10, but maybe truly, and it's supposed to be a strong quarterback class, to be in the top three, for sure, top 4 or 5, maybe in the top three, and maybe that might be the answer. But again, look where the Colts drafted the Florida quarterback. He's not even starting off no more. Anthony Richardson. When was Anthony Richardson drafted? 4th overall? What? Okay, why isn't he working out? I don't know. Maybe they overdrafted him.
They're going with Danny Jones.
Yes, he didn't, because Jones brings more stability than Anthony Richardson. That's why it's a crapshoot. You don't know if you get it right, so I'm saying you might have to keep trying. But they want to get young at that. So if you look at stability, if you're trying to... You think if Kirk Cousins would come to the Saints, that or even Jameis Winston, so you can name Jabu, you can name a number of quarterbacks. Okay, so let's say they would really bring, because of their experience, that leadership. So now we would be, instead of winning 3-4 games, maybe same song and dance last year, 5 games. What if we win? We 8-9, 9-8. Does that give you hope? No, you're just hovering in the middle. You're hovering in the middle. And look where you pick it in the draft. So I'm telling you, I don't think the Saints want to take that approach and bring in a veteran. They're willing to just ride with who they have. That's why you hear Kellen Moore says, no, we're sticking with these guys. And because Kellen Moore is still in his honeymoon. Come on. The team could not win a game. And somehow the NFL is too good. You can win 1 or 2 games. The ball will bounce your way. I truly believe that could happen. Kellen Moore ain't going nowhere. They're going to be patient, the organization. And now I'm not saying in the NFL you can't get fired after 1 year, because that does happen. But I don't think that would happen with Kellen Moore. No, if we weren't, we'd had no success.
There'd have to be like so much internal turmoil for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't see that happening. But there's different theories what to do. Well, you can never give up. And the Saints would never say, like, no, we tank. Because they're not tanking. No, everybody's playing for their damn job. Everyone's being evaluated. And like the Dolphins tanking for Tua. No, you can tank in golf or tennis. You can't tank in football. There's too many players involved and too many jobs in the line to just say, okay, we're not really going to try. We're not going to win no games. So we get the number 1 overall pick. No, that ain't happening.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, and the preseason is over, folks. The Saints lose 28-19 to Denver Broncos, but like I was just exclaiming with joy, the good news is no more exhibition play. I was talking about this with Jeff during our pregame show, Bobby, the fact that I can't believe we used to have four of these, and I know it used to even be more preseason games in the past in the NFL.
Yeah, if you played the Hall of Fame,
I can't wait to get down to two.
Yeah. How about, why don't we do, like, college and play none? How about you have these joint practices, and you compete, guys trying to make the team on the back end? You can have a training camp of that. Like you go against a couple of teams and compete at a high level. You know who's good enough to make the team and not. And then the TV networks wouldn't be against this because they have more viewership. Games that all count. Look, LSU's getting ready to play Clemson. Look the magnitude of that.
So you want like a 20-game season?
Just more games that count. I mean, who'd be – now you got to pay the players and all that. But I'm just saying – college don't play. LSU's not playing a preseason game before Clemson.
No.
Texas is not playing a preseason game before Ohio State. I mean, and you haven't training camp and you're competing against each other, but you could compete at the same level. Like those were an intense practice that they had with the Rams. And, you know, when you go in and then that's one thing I can tell you right now that we went against the Rams in that practice. Our defense, like Chase Young and DeMar Arnold, the Rams, now Matthew Stafford didn't win practicing then because he was hurt with his back, but they weren't doing jack. But Jimmy G or Stetson Bennett, all, they weren't doing anything. But then when our backups went in there, then you've seen that even today. I thought our ones were hanging, then we're getting gash in the run game. And that's why the waiver wire and who's going to provide depth and all that, I think you might see a handful, at least three, if not a handful of players that, well, we picked them up off waivers from some other team because we think they might be a better option to develop for the Saints to provide depth.
But folks can't think that your next starting quarterback is going to magically appear on the waiver wire.
No, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Even if you look at, look at Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. Mm-hmm. You know who's still playing? And you go, why can't that old man still be playing? Andy Dalton. Because Andy Dalton brings stability and would help Bryce out. You know, he was freaking out at the beginning of the year. Then look how he finished the season. But who knows if that even happens. Andy Dalton got in a car wreck and then Bryce Young came back in. But even with Andy Dalton, let's say like Andy Dalton or even like a Jameis Winston, whoever you think is like a solid backup with this team, I still think we would be, best case scenario, hovering around 500. Let's say Derek Carr don't hurt his shoulder and all that. I still think we would be, best case scenario, 8-9, 9-8.
Okay.
And then we end up, Derek Carr gets hurt, and we started out 2-0 last year. You remember? And we only won 5 games.
I thought it was a dream.
Yeah, it was like, man, we going to the Super Bowl. What? Man, we crushed Carolina. We crushed the Cowgirls. No, what if we look in our crystal ball and that would happen again? Well, we put a whooping in the dome against the Cardinals and the 49ers. What? But we going to the Super Bowl. We'd have that be
hope is renewed.
Yeah, hope is renewed, but I think they want to see what these young quarterbacks can do, and I don't see them. Because then people don't realize that you bring in a veteran. Yeah, they are a veteran, but the terminology and all, it's kind of late to learn a new offense and be able to, you know, be at the top of your game, not having to think and react, just knowing how to play because it's in the second nature, the back of your hand, you know, the offense, and because you've been with it in the offseason.
We're stepping away here on The Point After. Be back with even more after this break on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rocking and rolling here on The Point After. Before we continue, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After Denver beats the Saints 28-19 in the preseason finale. Been taking your calls on the WWL Talk and Text line 504-260-1870. Is your chance to sound off. Now we're going to go to Rocco in the Quarter, Cajun Cannon. What you got for us today, Rocco?
Well, yeah, old friend. It's been a while.
I know. How you doing, Rocco? You keeping up the quarter? You keeping it, up and up?
I'm fighting for Sydney, but I might be having a recall.
A recall? What recall? What do you recall? In the trash or the mayor?
No. It goes into football.
Okay. So what's your recall?
The guy everybody thought was gone, I think it's time for him to go to heaven. He then outlived his historical Super Bowl when we should have had four, but Mickey got to go. We can't pick no more. I think I like that, Bobby.
Well, I don't know. Mickey picked the right coach as Sean Payton. And, you know, people don't want to give him credit. Let me tell you what I think Mickey Loomis wants to do. This is my opinion. Mickey Loomis wants to turn around the Saints. Not ultimately, you'd want to win a Super Bowl, but where they're back on good footing and they're competitive as far as they're in the playoffs and to double-digit wins. Because, I mean, it's human nature. Does Mickey truly get any credit for the Super Bowl? No. Well, he was running the team. You know, who gets all the credit? Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Well, right. Who do you think brought Sean Payton here? Mickey Loomis. But, Mickey got to go. I know Mr. Tom Benson and the Benson organization. They trust Mickey Loomis. He has a lot of skins in the wall. Maybe he held on as far as, look at the draft picks you're giving up when you're getting the receiving all. But Mickey thinks they maybe could be training in the right direction to try and win this year. And now, whether you believe that or not, all I know is, you know what I would say Mickey Loomis is disappointed in right now, and because that's what they invested in the draft, is our freaking offensive line. Now, whether you snake bit with injuries or whatever, but even when they were healthy, and I know that Rams practice, how the Rams up front were kicking our ass. Now, we were kicking the Rams behind too, ones versus ones and all that. But look, and I said this in the pregame, and I remember before the Chargers game, and you got to have luck with injuries. You remember the Chargers, they paid Slater, the top tackle in the league, the most money, from Northwestern University, Big Ten school, who Tulane's going to play the first game, that Northwestern. And all of a sudden, he dislocates his kneecap. So you got to have luck with injuries not available, but the Chargers – and the Saints, and you look at Jim Harbaugh, how he has that team structured. You got to start up front. You build the team in the trenches, and then you get skilled people. Jim Finks is a lot like that, too. You have to pay these skilled people too much money. I'm going to get the linemen. You don't have to pay them as much. But anyway, looking at the Saints and Chargers, potentially going into training camp, we each had, the Chargers and Saints both had four number one draft picks on the O-line. Now, whether they're young or old, the only one, and he's our best lineman, McCoy, he's like a first-round draft pick considering where he was drafted, early second. But when we're going against, like, the Rams, ours are, we can't even run inside. Or I just look at times. Now, I thought we did better today more than the two previous preseason games as far as running up the middle.
Right, there were some 8-yard, 6-yard chunks.
Yes. You had like Kendre Miller. Now, this is without Alvin. I give Alvin those holes. Kendre Miller, like, nice 8-yard run. Devin Neal, nice 6-yard run. And then we end up averaging, 4.5 yards a carry. So then Shuck had a couple of runs. He had that long gain, that touchdown of 11 yards. But just taking out the quarterback run where it's not like we're getting 0 yards or 1 yard. So I'm telling you right now, Mickey would be if you hold his feet to the fire and you being truly honest, I truly believe that he would say, the quarterbacks, we should have got that right quicker because the Drew Brees situation. But I'm telling you right now, I think because what they've invested in the drive and the offensive line, he's disappointed because he knows what a great offensive line is. When we had Carl Nixon, Jari Evans, Teron Armstead, Ramchek, Jonathan Goodwin, all these centers and all that, we were top three offensive line. And as great as Drew Brees was, Drew Brees will tell you we were winning up front all the time. And that's why we became the offense that was always ranked in the top five, if not the top three. And it was because of that line we had. And you can look at all the skilled people in the trigger, man. Drew's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But right now, where are we truly a leader in offense? And it was supposed to be on the offensive line. Where? Alvin Kamara? And he's 30 years old. He still runs like he's 20. But that you want to know why we're struggling? We're not scoring? Because we overmatched. And we shouldn't be overmatched on the O-line. But at times, they got to prove it that we've been overmatched.
Folks, we're taking a break here on The Point After. We'll be back with even more. So stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After. Rejoice, Who Dat Nation. The preseason's over. We made it through. The Saints lose the finale to Denver 28-19. They finish 0-2-1 in preseason play, and they're getting ready for the real deal now. That'll be September 7th, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870 on our talk and text line. Bobby, we're going to go to Ron in Madisonville, who wants to talk a little about Tyler Shuck's play. What's going on, Ron?
I'm talking about how does he look really good at one point, but then really looks really bad at the next point?
Well, it's a rookie.
How do we expect him as being our next great thing?
Well, the only thing I can tell you, nobody has patience anymore.
To play devil's advocate, Bobby, we were talking about some QBs. Like
Okay.
Peyton Manning's career didn't start out great.
Okay, yeah. And now you might say different time, different age, but it's still football. Okay, the great Troy Aikman, Dallas Cowgirls, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We played Dallas. It was Jimmy Johnson, the great coach, Jimmy Johnson, Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman, when they first started out in Dallas. And Troy Aikman's a rookie. You know what Troy Aikman's record was? He was 0-15. Dallas won one game that year. They were 1-15, and Steve Walsh was the winning quarterback against the Redskins. Troy Aikman was 0-15. Peyton Manning starts out with the Colts. He still wants future players to break his interception rookie record. I want to say, Charlie, you can look it up, his rookie year, but it seemed like for every one touchdown Peyton threw, he threw like three picks. And let me tell you how he developed. We all know how he developed.
Another Hall of Famer.
I mean, yes. And he, this is hard to do, seven straight seasons, won 12 games or more. So do we see that kind of upside, and we're going to ride with Chuck? Because I think Spencer Rattler, I think Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler are NFL quarterbacks. But now, what's the definition of a franchise quarterback? Because that's different. You could be a franchise or a legit starter. I don't know if Shuck's a legit starter. I don't see, like, wow me, like franchise-type quarterback right now. But like Spencer Rattler, he might, whether you want to classify as a journeyman or, but they're both NFL quarterbacks. What I mean by that, you can have double-digit careers. And again, to make the NFL and last, you just got to be like 32 times two. I'm not even going to count three quarterbacks, like one of 64, because there's not that many quarterbacks around that could play this game at a high level. Now, that's why when you look at Shuck, you'd want him like, oh, look, he had three unbelievable drives, just drove the team down. In other words, you don't want him to do this, and both Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler combined, we had one drive. And, you know, we weren't efficient in the red zone. Today we had we were 1-for-1, but going into the game, we were only 1-of-5. Well, all I know, watching Spencer Rattler, in practice, he would move the team, but we would never score. Like in the red zone. Now, this is going against our defense. He's moving the team, maybe two or three, four first downs, moving the team, and Groupie would have to kick a field goal. Or it'd be a turnover, and wouldn't get it done.
No, we got to find a way for Spencer to finish.
Yeah, to finish. That's what I mean. It doesn't mean he doesn't understand what's going on. But whether it be Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck combined, when you look at, okay, like the sample size, three preseason games, that you would have liked to have at least a handful in three games. A handful, that's not asking too much. A handful, so let's say five drives of like double digits, like today, 12 plays, 77 yards, 4 minutes, 41 seconds, that's a drive. That's a touchdown drive. Well, we would have had, I would have liked to have seen that accomplished like five times. And, you know, going against the Chargers, Jaguars, and now the Broncos, where we only did it once. And so you don't see that consistency flashes, but you don't see that consistency game in and game out. Like, you know, where you take Drew Brees for granted and all what he was achieving. And then what's not helping him at times was when, is the receiver going to catch everything, hit his hands? Well, they had.
Drops,
for sure,
penalties.
Three drops, yeah, or four drops. Okay, let's say, boy, that was a nice play. Ah, it doesn't count. You know, remember I always tell you nine penalties or more, 100 yards, it's like giving up a touchdown. But Deuce and I talked about this. Also, it's critical when you look at, like, okay, we only had a handful of penalties.
But the situation.
Well, but the situation, those penalties were killers. They were drive killers. Or in other words, we had them stop. And then we gave him a first down, like DeMario Davis. You can't touch the quarterback. We had him backed up. What happens with DeMario Davis? He should know better than that. Now, I don't think it was roughness, but then they call him unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the replay, and obviously we were way up in the dome, so I haven't seen again.
Yeah, but I mean, here, that all of a sudden that occurs, and if you look at what occurred after that, and then that's when Knicks hit Sutton and beat Kool-Aid in a big play for 43 yards. Or who knows, if DeMario don't get that and they're punting on their back end, we flip in the field and we get better field position. We're not good enough to play on this one. We have to play disciplined football in that regard, especially our veterans. Like DeMario Davis would tell you, no, he can't have that. And it's a nitpicking and they shouldn't have called that. But they don't want you touching the quarterback. It's just the way it is today.
Next up on the point after, going to hit Marty in Gulfport. What you got for us today, Marty?
How you doing, fellas? Thank you for taking my call. Late happy birthday, Bobby. Nice talking to you again.
Okay.
My comment is that about the quarterbacks is that with Rattler has a good moment, but he doesn't have good games. Slow, in my opinion, and everyone seems to say the sportscasters. He went toe to toe with him,
in camp,
trying to make the first. He went toe to toe with him, and he did that as a rookie. So, if Rattler really is the same Rattler I saw last year, I'm not even knocking him. He's just the same. Slough is equal to him, and he don't have a year behind him, and he's mature. It seems to me that if he should be able to make improvement more than what we've seen a year ago from Rattler. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. And that might be the case. They might say, look, we like Rattler. He could plug and play, but I don't know if I could trust him. It's still a small sample size, but you look with Rattler. We've seen flashes of it about as good as it gets, and that happened last year even. When he had a quarterback rating in the first half like of 103, and then the second half like 43. And that was like a sample size of like six games. It's just like, whoa, like I talk about a roller coaster, where Rattler even talked about this season, trying in training camp, work more to have a complete game, not just bits and pieces. But you see that. You see that even on a drive where he's moving the team, and whether they've been practicing on, then don't quite finish it off in the red zone. And, you know, they might end up, you know, Marty, they might end up going, say, okay, we kind of understand where Rattler's at, but we need to see a little more Shuck. Let's just go with him from the get-go and just see how this season's going to pan out.
Taking a break here on The Point After. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You heard those numbers, 504-260-1870. We're going to hit them up and go to Eric and Mandeville. What you got for us today, E?
Man, you know, my take on this preseason, I tell you, I've kind of grown up here in New Orleans, and I've been a Saints fan my whole life. And this is the first time that I've actually been interested in the preseason because we have so many new things going on. And I feel like neither quarterback, Shock or Rattler, has really separated themselves, but I think they're dead even. And I think we're going to be, my prediction for this year is that we're going to struggle early on, and I'm sure a lot of us know that, but I think we're going to get better as the season goes, and we're going to be better on the second half of the season because we have the right coaches. I think we have the right head coach, and I think we have the right complementary coaches. But it's just going to be a tough go, and I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. But I just want to see a team that is competitive every week and fun to watch, and that's what I'm preparing myself for.
Well, Eric, that's kind of a good take, a good glass half full take.
That's what I'm hoping for, too, a competitive team that's fun to watch.
Well, you know it's going to be competitive. Now, we say our defense will. I truly believe more than Kellen Moore's offense, Brandon Staley's defense. That I'm telling you, if we have a chance, and I think we will at times, and the ball can bounce our way, you know, we plus two in the turnover, is because our defense put us in that position. But if this, does Steven have, I think, a little chance this year? Our defense has to carry us. And I witnessed in practice when they have, given the opponent the business.
Yeah.
And because the Rams have high expectations. Just going back to when they were practicing against the Rams, they're considered, a team that could compete with, the Eagles in the NFC, and, the AFC is more top to bottom, stronger and all that kind of stuff. But I think that the defense won't be as disappointing as it was last season. In other words, I think they'll have an impact. And what if they
get left on the field forever?
Well, that's never good. But again, if we scoring defense, if we hold an opponent,
yeah,
in the teens and in this day and age, that's one reason why. Look at the Broncos with Sean Payton. You think, oh, Sean Payton, an offensive mind. You know why the Broncos won 10 games last year? Because of their defense. Because West Bank Joseph. Their defense. If you look at their scoring defense, number three, they were.
Sure, getting after the quarterback. Yes. 63 sacks.
63 sacks. They were number one.
Plus
had the
what,
most
six?
Sacks. They were plus six. The running defense, you couldn't run against them. They were number three. A scoring defense, they were number three in the league, giving up 18 points a game. But Dolphins got to help you out somehow if you're doing that. But that's how you get the double-digit wins. So I think I'd be surprised that our defense won't play well.
We're taking a break here on The Point After. When we get back, we'll hear from quarterback Spencer Rattler. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, Saints losing their preseason finale 28-19 for the Denver Broncos. This is going to be our quarterback segment. First up, let's hear from Spencer Rattler, who started this preseason finale.
So just kind of looking back all the way through, you know, OTAs, do you feel like you've done enough at this point to win this starting quarterback job?
You know, I try not to, you know, that's not my decision to make. I just try to put my best foot forward. I feel like as a group, we've, you know, done a lot of good things and are progressing in the right direction. Obviously, still a lot to work on as a group, but I like the direction we're headed, and the guys are all, we trust in each other, and I think that's the biggest thing. And but yeah, not my decision to make, but just try to put my best foot forward.
If you were to get the opportunity, like compared to last year when you went in and now, like in what ways you feel like, I don't want to say like more prepared, but like in what ways you feel like you're better and like have grown and yeah. like what things you think would be different in your favor this summer?
Mm-hmm. I think obviously just being more prepared, being able to play a little bit last year, you know, getting to go against good defenses this preseason, getting a joint practice under my belt, and just getting to build more with these guys, and obviously with a new system, you know, feel like it'd be exciting to go in there and play ball and play free and try to put a good game plan together. But again, we're just focused on the day by day. You know, still got a week or two to go, but looking forward to whatever happens.
I feel like you'd be ready for that opportunity where it could come.
No doubt.
How do you assess your play today?
Yeah, I mean, we're moving the ball pretty well. Weren't great on third down, didn't convert some of those. You know, we put points on the board with our defense. You know, that's good. That's a positive. That's a good defense we played today. Obviously, a lot of talented players. Thought we ran the ball pretty well, had a couple throws. Just got to stay in third and manageable. But, you know, I thought it was solid. Could have been better, obviously, but it was solid.
What did you see on the incompletion to the sheet?
Oh, yeah, I want that one back. You know, it was cover zero. They brought the pressure. We got in the right check. And drifting left, trying to throw back across with the play fake, just got to hit that one. You know, I probably threw it a little early, but I just got to lead him because that's a big play. If we connected, and I told Sheed I want one, so I'm going to get him one.
How much of Kellen Moore's offense would you say we saw in preseason games? Like, certainly not all of it, right?
Yeah. Not going to give too much, you know, in depth, but you know, there was a little flavors here and there, but, you know, he's got a lot he could dial up. And, you know, we love him as a play caller. I thought he's done a great job throughout the preseason, getting us in good looks and giving us opportunities to make big plays as a group. It's our job to go out there and execute them at a high level. But, you know, I thought he's called some great plays this preseason and obviously throughout camp. And but, yeah, there's a lot more.
Do you like the fact that there is a lot more and, you know, it hasn't maybe been used in these preseason games? How does that kind of impact a QB competition? Like, if you're not using, I guess, the whole offense, do you think it kind of holds you all back a little bit at all, or what kind of role does that play?
No, I wouldn't say it holds you back at all. I mean, all teams are doing the same type of stuff. They don't want to show too much, but like I said, it doesn't limit you. You just got to go through your plays, execute them, and try to score points. You know, we're going against good defenses, obviously giving us good looks. And, you know, they're not making it easy on us, but it's our job to trust our preparation, trust our coaching, and go out there and get it done.
If you haven't had a chance to play much with Olave Oroshi, what was it like to finally
Yeah, it was good. I mean, they created some separation. We had a few completions to those guys today. You know, after that, the attempted QB sneak, we had a pretty good play dialed up for Olave. That was, you know, I was dang near positive it was going to be a big play. But, you know, we didn't convert, so we didn't get to call that. But it's good having those guys out there. They're healthy. They got through the preseason healthy camp. They look great. You rely on those guys. They're great.
Is that separation, like, really noticeable between them and
some of them? Those are just guys that have played, you know, obviously longer than a lot of the other guys, but obviously very talented. We got guys on each, you know, ones, twos, threes that could all separate, all talented in their own ways. And I think Kellen does a great job of scheming to get those guys open.
What do you think of the fact that the QB competition is going, you know, so deep into the preseason?
I really have no thoughts on it. You know, I just kind of show up, do my best, put my best foot forward, and let the rest take care of itself.
You have put your best foot forward, and you were saying that earlier, but like, you feel like the product you've shown is, I guess, the best thing you can do.
I mean, there's always room for improvement, you know. That's a good question. I feel confident in what I've done. But again, you know, there's obviously more out there to get, and we're looking forward to doing that.
That was quarterback Spencer Rattler after today's preseason matchup. Now, okay, well, before we go to Tyler Shough,
I'll tell you, he's confident in what he's doing. He's a confident quarterback as far as the plays, getting in and out of the huddle. But the thing is, what I've been disappointed, and I know he's aware of this, is in the red zone. Again, you finish. Can move the team, but you have to finish.
Right.
Exactly.
Now let's hear from the rookie, Tyler Shough.
What's going through your mind on the play where, you know, he's coming out, you spin out of it, jumped over the sideline, hit the side on throw? Like, are you, is it like slow motion when that's happening? Or are you just kind of blacking out? And it's like, wait, like, how do you process that now?
I think, you know, you're going through your whole process pre-snap during the play, and then at that point you're trying to find your check down or you're sending the play, and there, you know, you're trying to save points, trying to make the get a first down, so really it's just playing football at that point. You know, that's when you're in kind of flow state, you're just trying to make get it out of your hand, make something happen.
What about the zone read touchdown run when you do that?
Yeah, it was kind of a plan that we had throughout the week as far as whenever they brought in a certain package, we get to certain runs. So we got to that run, and I was just reading that in. I knew I could beat the edge, beat him to the edge, and get to the end zone. And it was really well executed drive just from the whole offense. So it was good to get down there.
Nice to get a couple opportunities to do the QB run game today. I think you had two read options.
Yeah. That first one I probably could have gave, and it was kind of 50-50, and kind of similar thought process. I thought I could beat him on. But yeah, we'll watch it back. I knew coming into it, wanted to utilize it a little bit more and just what I can do and show and just have that element of it, especially if we're going to get certain looks in that run game.
When did that become part of your game? Is it like that's
the case study for us? Running the ball?
Yeah, like just that. Well, just more so like the instincts of when and when not to take.
I mean, you just throughout camp, you're going through different installs where you don't really have some of that stuff, and we're just kind of going through the flow of it. But I feel like it's always been there ever since I was at Oregon, and it's just kind of different systems, really. That's all it's been. And I ran it a bunch at Tech as well. Louisville, I didn't as much just because it was a different system. But I think that's just something that you kind of have to have, is that element of extending those plays and running it.
Do you feel like you've shown enough to win the starting quarterback job?
I mean, that's a good question. I think for me, you know, what I put on tape continually throughout the call-up periods, throughout the games, just kind of had the steady growth, the operation, I feel like it has been enough. I feel like I'm fully capable to go out there and lead the charge. Obviously, I don't make those decisions. I think the whole team, the whole offense has continually gotten better. But for me, I feel really comfortable going in to week to week, and I'm just excited to work on Arizona and see what we're going to do.
What are the next couple of days like for you? Like, what is your personal process? Because you know the announcement's coming soon. Like, do you get overly nervous about it? Like how do you put that aside and not just worry about it or think about it?
Yeah, I think like it's what you said. You know, you put in the work to this point, and it's a continual process. You know, you can look back at every single moment where you maybe had a mistake, but those mistakes were necessary to kind of get to this point, you know? So it's, and I'm going to continue to make mistakes, and that's part of it. So I think the biggest thing is just, you know, I feel like I have nothing to lose, and that's kind of the mindset I have to remind myself with, is I wasn't really supposed to get drafted at a certain point. I wasn't supposed to be here. A lot of people are still going to doubt me, and I'm just happy to go out there and compete with all the guys. And I think we have that same mindset where we're being doubted, and we love it. So we just kind of have that attitude, and whatever the case may be, just go. No, I mean, that was just playing there. We had the exact, you know, look what we wanted. Everything was going good. I was going to rip it to Tipton on the back shoulder, and they went to invert. I had him beat on that flat defender. So he just, the DN made a good move and had knocked the ball out. That's just kind of part of it. It sucks, but I think the whole O-line played really well, especially the whole game. We just got to finish on some of those penalties, you know, in the red zone and stuff like that. But it was good.
Tyler, did you ever find yourself looking for hints or reading into things that might tell you which way this quarterback decision is going to go, even if you don't mean to, maybe just like who was with the ones that day or something a coach said? Or
you know, I think they've done a really good job of just giving us, you know, I feel like both equal chances as far as reps and times to take control of the room or times to share the different roles. And I think they've done a really good job as far as splitting that up and having certain days. So today, you know, one guy's going to get one these reps with the ones, then we'll rotate. So I think they've done a good job. That also, it's hard because you don't really get a
a certain flow, but I think that's part of it. And but for me, it's human nature to want to do that. And like I said before, the biggest thing that I've kind of learned is just operating wise and controlling your reps. I think I've done a really good job at, you know, finishing the past couple weeks of doing that and just having fun with it.
How do you evaluate your preseason performance from your plays, your command, decision making? How do you evaluate all that?
I think for me, it's I think it's been that steady growth, and I think it's been a steady increase of performance. And I think what I add to the table as far as just from down the field elements, you know, running the ball, controlling the offense, managing it, giving our guys chances to play, I think I've done a really good job of that. I also think Spencer is really capable as well. I think Jake is really capable as well. I think it's obviously a really tough decision, and we got a lot of talent on offense. But I know for us and for myself, I'm going to continue to keep getting better, because regardless of what the scenario is, I feel like I'm ready to go and the guy to go out there and play. And we'll see what happens, but I'm just really, really thankful to be able to work with this offense and the team just because we got such a good group.
And that was Tyler Shuck following the Saints' 28-19 loss to the Denver Broncos. But hey, guess what? There is a silver lining here in preseason play, Cannon. The Saints, I mentioned 0-2-1 in the preseason. Well, that's second best in the NFC South. The Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons both 0-3.
0-3. Now, I don't understand the strategy, like what Atlanta was doing.
I don't know either what's going on.
Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins.
Zero
starts.
Did not play at all.
I can see that playing Kirk Cousins.
Right, you know what you got there.
Yeah, and then even the Steelers not playing Aaron Rodgers. But how
I
many?
Think he even took at least a series.
Oh, okay. He did. Aaron Rodgers did. You said?
I believe so.
The point being, Michael Penix, how many games has he played? Charlie, how many played when he came? Like a handful, five or six on the back end of the season.
Right.
I mean, is there a hidden injury, or what are they saving him for? So I don't know.
Today in the Dome, the Saints fell to the Denver Broncos 28-19. The good news is, though, preseason play is a wrap, Who Dat Nation. We're going to get now into What's Buggin' Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, after this loss in the preseason, what was bothering you most?
Well, the chain reaction of not really dictating the ebb and flow of a game, you know, setting the tone. And it was all the three preseason games. We're not good on third down. So if you're not converting on third down, how can you have sustained drives? And then how can you get a number of plays where you're controlling the ball, time of possession? Like Denver had the ball almost a quarter, like 14 minutes. So it's like almost a full quarter more than we had the ball. So that's bugging me. And I think the way we structured, we have to have 28 to 32 carries. A lot of teams look at it. Then you're keeping teams off balance, and we only had 17. I can tell you right now, we're playing the Cardinals or the 49ers. When the game's all said and done, we can't have in the teens rushing attempt. Because if we would play every game and say we have to throw it like 40 times, we might not win a game. That you have to be able to run the ball, to play action, whatever, to help the young quarterbacks. But with 17 rushing attempts, let's say if we did that every year, I mean every game, that we would not be successful. So when I look at the converting on third down, that's going to help us dictate the ebb and flow of the game, like I said, and you'll get more plays and you're possessing the ball more, and you'll be setting the tone, having an opportunity to win. But I think it starts on third down, and that enables us to have sustained drives.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be key to just keep the offense, like you said, out there and, you know, try to at least wear down their defense some, because, you know, we're not built for a shootout. We've seen the struggles of getting into the end zone.
Do you think, I'd be shocked, I don't know what the odds of that, you know, you could bet on anything, that the Saints would ever be in a game this year 30-something to 30-something. I would say, like, never. That for sure won't happen this season in any game. Now, it's very entertaining, but I don't see that happening. Now, I've been, you know, kind of picking on the offense, but if I'd be picking on the defense, because we're counting on him, we needed to play at the highest level. And you know, if you're going to go Alante Taylor 1, then Kool-Aid McKinstry has to be like 1A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, oh, look at a play. And that was an outstanding play by Kool-Aid McKinstry on that fade route against Sutton. That's their top receiver. But you can't have one outstanding plays and two or three bad plays. Okay, that play was outstanding. But then look on the 4th and 5. Knicks hit Sutton plus 14, beat him on a back shoulder throw. Now, that was a great pass and just great timing by then. But then also Kool-Aid got beat, turned around, Knicks to Sutton plus 43 yards. So, yeah, he did have that nice play, shut down Sutton to one. But if you're a top secondary guy and you're not going to be attacked, you got to win more than you're losing. You can't, like, win one, lose three, or win one, lose two. You need to flip that. Maybe I lost one, but I won three. You know, you have to have a short-term memory as a DB and all that. But, no, that's one thing, you know, with Lattimore, he was kind of up and down at times, and you wish he had maybe a better attitude, whatever.
Just better health, too.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, yes, what he's going to do with the Washington Commanders this year. Because, you know, when we went at the training camp, or even at the end of training camp, we were viewed as that was one of our team strengths compared to even the whole league with Lattimore and Paulson and Debo. And I haven't kept up with the Giants, but I would bet Paulson and Debo starting for them, right?
Right.
And Lattimore starting for the Commanders.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from Giants camp about him.
Yeah, that's I'm just thinking that he would be starting. They signed him in the offseason. But then a Debo even last year cost us a couple of times getting too handsy. With penalties, but he's had big games where he truly impacted whether we won or lost, whether he'd have a takeaway and making a crucial, not just one play, but like two or three plays to make a difference. So that's what we have to demand to help out our defense on the back end from Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry, like we were demanding and had their reputation with Lattimore and Adebo.
Yeah, seeing the New York Post there just had an article about, you know, praising Adebo as the Giants' top corner.
Well, I know he's that. If you don't get penalties, and how officials are calling it, no, Adebo's a big corner. And sometimes, again, he'd be in crucial situation a little too handsy. Like, I remember that when we were beating the Packers, it was coming out party for Jordan Love, went on that deep throw. He got that interference penalty. We saw him there, the Saints win the game. Like, there'd be too many plays when that was happening at the end with him. And it wasn't almost him just out and out getting beat. No, it was like he'd have a negative play because of a penalty able to sustain drives of the opponent because of that play. Now, Lattimore, yeah, bad luck with injuries. But, yeah, Lattimore's a different cat now. That's big shoes to fill overall as far as that swag. For Alante Taylor to have that. And it looks like he's embracing the slot. But again, how healthy is it? Is that a groin or is it something else? Or is it going to be available against the Cardinals? Look at Ugo Amadi. If Ugo's playing whoever's right now in the slot, you don't think they're going to get picked on? But right now, I would tell you right now, since we're so different and so young in the secondary, the weak link might be a number of places. So we better have a damn pass rush. And we've got to stop the run. So we can then rush the passer, like Deuce says. But I'm confident.
Jordan always says, stop the run to have some fun.
Yes. I'm truly not worried about our defense. I think our defense will come to play, and hopefully I'm right, that they'll keep us in games and at least give us a chance to win.
I wish I was more optimistic about the O-line, Cajun Cannon.
No, I'm not there either. I wish I was more optimistic, too.
Taking a break here on The Point After. We'll come back, wrap things up right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Preseason play is over. The Denver Broncos win today 28-19 in the finale over the Saints. Before we continue on with The Point After, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Checking out our WWL Talk and Text Line, Cajun Cannon. We've had Derek in Austin, Texas, hanging on. Wanted to get him before we pushed out of here. Derek, what you got for us today? Who that, man?
Hey, man, look, I'm gonna say we're going to have a 2006 season. We haven't seen anything in preseason, and I really think this team is better than anybody expected. And plus, our schedule. I mean, we play in a fourth-place schedule. I mean, we can't be that bad. We can't be. There's no way. I think this team is capable of winning 10 or 11 games.
Oh, who that? 10 or 11 games?
Derek definitely gets the award for most positive phone call.
No, yes. And then you can go from worst to first, you know, within your division. Now, I think the 49ers won six games last year. I think they're the favorite around the nation to truly turn around because they had so many injuries. But, Derek, to go from five wins to 10 wins, if we have 10 wins, we need to have a damn parade. I think we need to have a parade, and even though we haven't really won none, just by doubling our win total. To go from 5 to 10.
Kellen Moore definitely would deserve a parade after
that. No, he needs to be the coach of the year. If Kellen Moore would turn the team around from 5 wins to 10 wins, Derek, he needs to be coach of the year. I mean, you're winning anything. You're probably in the postseason. So, Derek, I tell you what, you need to remember this. From Austin, Texas, Derek, you need to call back and say, Bobby, I told you, I looked at my crystal ball, and they're going to win 10 or 11 games. If that would happen, Derek, a lot of people would have to eat crow. And the players, believe you me, Derek, the players are believing that in the locker room because as a player, you have to. The players, the organization, the coaching staff, they are believing that they will turn things around. And, you know, because you have to. When you're competing, you have to believe you're going to win every time you go out there.
Giving thanks to our team behind the scenes of the Saints Radio Network, executive producer Diane Newman, assistant producers Ian Hoke and Nathan Rizzuti, studio producers Charlie Long and Chris Coleman, our sideline producer Tyler Miller, plus station engineers Danny Miller, Ernie Kane, and Luke Augusta. On behalf of our Saints broadcast team, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, and Robert Carroll, thanks for listening to Saints Football. I'm Steve Geller. Coming up next on The Point After with the Cajun Cannon. For next week will be, well, two weeks, really.
2 weeks, yep. The Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals. Yep. We'll be back in action. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Houdat Nation.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.